Unending love. Isn't that amazing? That God could give himself for us. We don't deserve it, right? But we praise God that he's been having plans for us. Amen? Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, we want to thank you this morning. We thank you for the time we've gathered, Lord, even as we go through your word, thinking about heaven. Lord, help us to just trust you and know that you've gone to prepare for a place that we will join you when you decide. As we go through your word, speak, oh God, through me, Lord, that your word will be brought clearly with understanding. Holy Spirit, come and take charge. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We've been on our topic, the series Heaven on My Mind. You know, how many of us got heaven on our mind this morning? I can see only a few this morning got heaven on their mind. Well, reality check, nobody thinking but want to think about heaven right now. I myself who preaching, I'm not thinking about heaven right now. I want to go to heaven, but the good old Lord know that I got work still to be done. Amen? Amen. 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 But as we talk about heaven, knowing Jesus, growing his grace and knowledge and longing for our eternal home. Today we want to ask this question. Can you know you are going to heaven? Can you know? Yeah, absolutely. We're supposed to know, right? We ought to know because we are what? We are God's children. But here's the thing as we go into our message today. Let me skip. Okay, our YouTube blog, and it says that it is possible to know that in this life where you will spend eternity, because when you die, two things happen. And you either take one or the other. Right? You either take heaven or hell, right? Nobody want to answer with that. But it's true. Either you go to heaven or either you journey down to hell. But how can you know for sure you are going to heaven? So we're going to look in God's word and kind of find out how we can know. Our eternal truth is that salvation is not a corporate effort between you and God. No. Our salvation has to do with Jesus Christ. And we're going to see that in our message. Nothing we've done to obtain salvation. We are like filthy rags before God. Even as we strive to do good, we're going to talk about that later. But what Jesus Christ did on the cross is all that you and I will ever need to stand in the presence of God. Amen? But here's the thing, there's an issue with that. And the question is, will you know today where you're going to be tomorrow? But what do you need to know and do as we prepare for heaven? What do you need to know and what do you need to do? You know, you can know, as we said, absolutely for certainty that you are going to heaven based on God's promise, right? Based on his promise. And not only that, the finished work of Jesus Christ, we're going to talk about that later, and it's not by our own merits. Can I get an amen? Amen. It's not about you or what. So let us look at a couple of things we want to look at this morning as we look at, can I be for sure know that I'm going to heaven? Yes, but there's a problem. There's a problem because
of who we are as human, which sometimes cause us why we cannot earn our way to heaven. And we want to look at that. The human problem, why we cannot, or why we can't earn heaven by ourselves. Number one, we want to look at goodness. If you're thinking I'm good, scratch it off. And there's a requirement of perfection. If you think that you are, scratch it off. And our inability to change. That's the problem we have as human that will cause us not to get to heaven. And let's look at the first one, goodness. It's not enough. Whatever you do to please God, guess what? It's for nothing. It's not going to take you to heaven. So let's look at Titus chapter 3, verse 3 to 6. It says that, for we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, which is Christ Jesus, it is not by works of righteousness which we've done, but what? According to his mercy, he saved us. So it's according to God's mercy, he saved us, that gives us the opportunity to make us know that, hey, not the work I do at church, not me standing here singing in the praise team automatically make me to go to heaven. Not paying my tithe or offering or coming here Friday teaching the youth or doing all these things will cause me to go to heaven if I'm not saved. If I don't have Jesus, if I don't recognize Jesus, everything I'm doing is for my own soul. So people can see, oh, how committed I am, what I'm doing, all these things I'm doing. But I'm not doing it because I know I'm saved. I'm doing it because I want for people to know that I'm capable of doing it. And when that mindset is in you, man, you cannot earn heaven. Heaven is not yours. Because it is only true according to his mercy, according to his grace, that he saved us. We didn't save ourselves. Our words cannot save us. Our good deeds cannot save us. No matter how good we try, it cannot save us. It will never take us to heaven. And that's the human problem. We think our education, our job, our family, it's not going to take us to heaven. Let's look at something in the book of Romans chapter 3, right? Before that, let me go by there. When we say good enough, first, before going to Romans chapter 3, I want us to look at this parable. This young man came to Jesus. He came to Jesus in Matthew, and he asked Jesus this question. He said, In the verse, he said, good teacher, what good should I do that I may have eternal life? That's the question he asked Jesus. And Jesus, in verse 17, said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one that is good is God. He said, but if you want to enter into life, Jesus tells you, keep the commandments. And he came and said, oh, is that if that's the point, I'm fine, right? So he went and he said, he asked Jesus, which one? Okay, we get it somewhere. Jesus said to him, in verse 18, Jesus said, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, Lord, if that's the case, you should not commit murder. Check. I haven't committed murder. You should not commit adultery. Check. I haven't committed adultery. You should not steal. Check. You should not bear off. Check. Everything check, check. Let's see what he says in the next day. And the young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. So this guy was into it. He said, from a youth, from a teenager, I sat in the synagogue. I learned everything. I sat on the Pharisees, the Sadducees. I learned everything. So everything you say, he said, all these things I have kept from my youth. He said, what do I still lack? So think about it, right? He was telling Jesus, hey, if you think about all these laws, forget it. I'm good. He was not looking at his relationship with God, but he was looking at who he was as a young man growing up and what qualified him to be a good person. All these things he said he did. And Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, he said, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And this is what he said. Come, follow me. And if there was a recording, if technology had existed during that time, they would have just focused on that young man, his appearance, when Jesus said, sell everything, give it to the poor, come and follow me. Look what he says, what the scripture says there. It said, but when the young man heard it, that saying, he went away sorrowful. He went away sorrowful because he had great possession. This is why he forgot. He did everything he thought he could have done, but he forgot one thing that was hindering him from going to heaven. When God gave the commandment, he said, do not serve no idols before me. Now, his possession, his wealth, has become his idol that was standing between him and heaven. So you see, everything that he thought he'd done from his youth qualified him to go to heaven, qualified him to have a relationship with Christ. But he forget to know that his possession, his money, his wealth was an idol that he was worshiping that was stopping him from going to heaven. And that could be an idol for us today. Our wealth will hinder or will cause us not to earn heaven. Every other thing we may do, but when anything stands in our way between God, that thing becomes an idol, is hinder us from going to heaven. Amen? And another thing that's going to hinder us if we don't put our mind is the requirement of perfection. No one is perfect, right? Because of why we are not perfect, Romans 3:24 says, for all have what? Sin. And what? Fall short. 3:23 rather. We fall short of God's glory. From the day we were born, we begin what? Sinners. So if I'm walking around here and say, you know what? I'm not a sinner. I'm going to heaven. I'm deceiving myself. I'm deceiving myself for the fact that I'm taking pride and think I'm perfect, I'm holy, and no. But guess what? Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as one man's sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all, everyone, you and I, we have sinned. Here's the thing. Humans strive for perfection, but we will always fall short again and again, no matter how we try. But what we must come to the realization that
perfection will never happen. Our perfection will lower the standard that God set for perfection. Our perfection will lower that. And that's why Isaiah chapter 46 tells us that our righteousness, 46:6 tells us our righteousness before God is what? A filthy rags. But God understands that, right? But here's the problem. God still demands perfection. And God's perfection, he demands, it's not what we, our definition for perfection. No, it's not what we would think our friends, our family, but as Matthew chapter 5, verse 48:10 said, be perfect, be holy, because why? Your heavenly Father is perfect, he's holy. And here's the question. How can we as sinners be as perfect as God? It's impossible, right? No. But the answer is, God is able to give us all his perfections. His righteousness can be accredited to our account so that we can enter into heaven. And this is where Jesus came in the picture. When Christ died, he made a sacrifice for all sinners. And that sacrifice, God accepted Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf. So through Christ, though he was perfect, God made him legally guilty of our sin. And because he did that, guess what? He returned and we received his righteousness. And because of him, we are righteous. So if we do not accept him, we do not build a relationship with him who is righteous, and for our sake, he became sinner on the cross, hey, we cannot earn heaven. We must first understand that our perfection is through Jesus Christ. And there is nothing else, not our own self, not in our own strength, nothing we can do to be perfect, but it's through Jesus' death on the cross. He credited his righteousness unto us that we have the opportunity to go to heaven. Amen? Amen. Here's another thing. Our inability to change. And what's that? Sin. Look at what Paul says in Romans chapter 14, verse 18. He says, for we know the law is spiritual, but I'm kind of so on a sin. For what I'm doing, I do not understand. For what I will do, that I do not practice. Isn't that what we struggle with? We struggle with that. He said, but what I hate is the exact thing I keep doing. He said, if then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but what? Sin. Sin that dwells in me. Remember, we were born sinners. And even though we may be saved, we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, as long as we are in this body, this flesh, we will wrestle with sin until God calls us. And that's why Paul says, he said, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. And all because of what? Sin. And as we wrestle with. So, going to heaven, that's one of our problems as human. And it only takes Jesus to help us get on that path to accepting, to let him take control of our path that will enable us to earn our way to heaven. But we're going to keep rising up with sin until he calls us. Amen? And the fact of the matter is we are too weak to save ourselves. We cannot save ourselves no matter how hard we try. We cannot save our strength. We do not have the strength. Sin takes control of our nature. and we struggle. But it's only when we admit to God as his children in faith, in Christ Jesus, guess what? The spirit of adoption is poured upon us and help us to walk in according to the will of the Lord. And that's why we ought to not depend on ourselves and feel that, hey, we're going to go to heaven. We depend on him. Not anything. Not our righteousness. We're not fit. We're not perfect. But through Christ Jesus, we gain access to heaven. And the second thing we want to talk about, the solution, the divine solution, trusting the finished work of Jesus Christ. And that's going to, the work of Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross, is a gift, not a wage. We didn't deserve it. And the substitutionary sacrifice that he made. And also, we have to take into consideration the resurrection that will give us the way to heaven. And Paul says that in the first thing is not a gift. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9, Paul said, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourself." We didn't save ourselves. When Christ did it, he said, it's the gift of God. God saved us. It's not a work we've done. Because if God is looking at our work, he won't save us. But he said, lest anyone should boast. Your salvation was not based on what you did, your work, how often you come to church or Sunday school or what you did in the church or in your community. No, it based on nothing. It based on the free gift that God gave us through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23 to 24. He said, "Who, when he was revealed and not reviled, in return, when he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed." So it's nothing about us. It's nothing that we deserved. He paid that price. And until we can realize and recognize what God did through Jesus Christ on the cross for us, hey, no matter what we do, heaven, we're going to miss heaven if it's only about ourselves. If it's only about who we are, what I'm doing, what I'm capable to do, or what I have done on my life. No, it's about what Jesus did on the cross. And that has to be acknowledged by us in our lives each day as we walk. The substitutionary sacrifice. Do we think about the sacrifice of Jesus? Look in John chapter 5, verse 11 to 13. It says, "And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life." Think about that. For us to go to heaven, we have to think about Jesus Christ, because he says that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son, Jesus Christ. And until we can acknowledge Jesus Christ in our life, we will not have eternal life. Because it's not about us. And look in there, he said, "He has the Son. He who has the Son has what? Life." So apart from yourself, you have no life. In your own strength, you are nothing. I'm nothing. Unless, except I have Jesus Christ, that's the only time I have life. And he goes on, he said, "He who does not have the Son does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God,
that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. That you may continue to believe in the Son of God. Without Jesus, there is no way we can have access to heaven. And if we don't believe in him, we don't have him, we do not have eternal life. You know, and that's the thing between the Christian and the Muslim. They don't believe in Jesus Christ. But we believe in Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God. He came down as the Son of God. He lived on earth. He committed no sin. He died. He did not remain in the grave. But if you went to Mecca, Muhammad Boone is still in the grave. So you can tell me that if I believe in Muhammad, I will be saved? No. Why should I honor somebody who needs to honor the master because he's still in the grave? Jesus is there. He's not in the grave. He's in heaven. Jesus answered in the scripture, Moses perfectly said, Jesus answered them and they were asking him a question. And he said, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. If we profess to be a Christian and we don't believe in Jesus, he says, we are not his sheep. And looking there, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. He said, and I give them what? Eternal life. Hey, Jesus is the only way, no matter what you do, he's the only way to heaven. He said, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. He said, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's, out of my Father's hand. He said, I am the Father I want. Isn't that hope? I don't know about you, but I know I got hope. I know I have the Father. I have Jesus in my life. And I'm ready. Amen? Amen? And another thing that we need to believe in is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That will help us. Another thing said, Jesus said to her, after the in John chapter 11, verse 25, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. And this is the thing he said, he who believes in me, though he may be dead or though he died, guess what? He shall live. That's hope. And whoever lives and believes in me shall what? Never die. Do you believe this? That's the hope. That if you believe this and agree with this, guess what? You earn your way to heaven. Because it's not on your own mind thinking. It's not on your own self-belief or who you are going to take you, but only believing in Jesus Christ. And look what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 16 to 19. He said, for if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. He said, but and if Christ is not risen, your faith is what? Futile. And he said, you are still in your what? Sin. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have also what? Perished. But he said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, guess what? We are all men the most pitiable. So where can we go without Christ? Nowhere.
It's only him. He's the way, he's the truth, and he's the what? Lie. And if heaven is on your mind, take yourself out and put Christ in the picture. And you have a way there. Amen? The assurance of salvation. How many sure that you have your salvation? And how do you know? A couple of things. We won't look at it as we close on this. One, the promise of God's word. God's word promised us salvation. God's word promised us heaven. Like we said earlier, it's nothing that you do going to take you to heaven. And if you're struggling, it's in his word. Let's look at it. And another thing is about heaven is RSVP for heaven. Amen? Amen. We will talk about that later. The promise of God's word. Look at John chapter 5, verse 13. This is the promise he gave. He said, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." That's assurance. Hey, if you believe in God, you have the assurance that, hey, you are going to heaven. And another assurance is John chapter 14, where Jesus said, he said, "Let your heart not be what?" He said, "Believe in God and believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." Jesus is saying that, hey, this is assurance. If you have salvation in me, if you believe in me and you are saved, you have the assurance. And this is, he spoke in his word. He said, "I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to go and prepare a place for you." And Jesus is not speaking to unsaved people. He's speaking to those who are saved. And he said, "My Father's house are many mansions." He said, "If it was so, I would have told you." He said, "I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you," he said, "I'm going to come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be." Isn't that assurance? That assurance that I'm saved, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and he promised me that where he is, I'm going to be with him. And where you think he's going to be? In heaven. So it's a sure process that I'm going to be with him in heaven. Amen? Now let's look at RSVP for heaven. Jesus gave the parable about this banquet, right? He said, "A certain man gave a great supper and invited many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, 'Come, for all things are now ready.'" But listen, he said, "But they all with one accord begin to make excuses." What's the first one say? "I have bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it." That's the first man's excuse. And the second person said, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I am going to test them. I ask you to have me excused." And another said, "I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come." They gave excuses. Here's the thing. When I was reading the book by the author Randy Alcorn called Heaven, he gave a story. He told a story about this lady. And her name was Ruth Anna Metzger. She was a professional singer. And this story kind of illustrates the importance of having our names written in the book of life.
So several years ago, she was asked to sing at this wedding. And this wedding was of a wealthy man. And according to the invitation, the reception would be held on the top two floors of the Seattle Columbus Tower. So when I read, I went on Google to kind of Google the building to see what kind of building they were talking. And very nice, beautiful building, very tall, one of the tallest buildings you could find. And here's the thing. She and her husband, Roy, were excited about the wedding. So at the reception, you found the waiters were in tux, offering nice wine and exotic beverages. The bride and the groom, they approached a beautiful glass stairway. And the announcement came that everyone should get in for the reception. They cut the ribbon and everything fell, balloons, everything fell. And as the bride and the groom climbed the stairway to get on top of the floor of the building for the reception, everyone follows. And as they went, they got to the stairs before they could enter. Everyone has to be sure of that the name was written on the invitation list. And when it got to her, she and her husband, and this gentleman asked her, "May I have your name, please?" And she called her name. She said, "I am Ruth Hannah Metzer, and this is my husband, Roy." And this gentleman searched the list. He said, "I'm not finding it." He said, "Will you please spell your name slowly?" She went on. She spelled her name very slowly so he can understand. And after searching again, he said, "I kept saying, 'Cannot find your name.'" He said, "I'm sorry, but your name isn't here." And she said, "That must be a mistake." She said, "I'm the singer. I sing for this wedding." And the young man looked at her and said, "Ma'am, without your name in this book, you cannot attend this wedding, this banquet." And he said, "No matter who you are, no matter what you did, once your name is not on the list, you cannot enter in here for the banquet." So he called the ushers. He said, "Hey, take these couple to the elevator and escort them down to the garage floor." And as they were going to the elevator, they saw the reception hall. So beautiful. Everything designed, the food and the band with people dressed inside looked great. But they couldn't enter in there. And they entered into the elevator, and the usher pressed the ground, G for ground floor. When they went to the garage, they got in the car on the way driving. There was a moment of silence in the car. And Roy, the husband, asked her, he said, "What happened?" And she said, "I was so busy, and I forget to RSVP. And I felt because I was singing for the wedding, so I didn't need to do RSVP." So, and she started to cry. And when she cried, it wasn't because she didn't go to the banquet, but she cried. She thought about how, on that day of judgment, how it's going to be like. How people will glance of heaven, but be directed down to hell. Because we are so busy with excuses, doing this, doing that, and the invitation Jesus has given us to come to his banquet, we're running after a job, we're running after a theme, we're running after this, we're running after that, and we neglect to make our SVP for our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you a joke. Our sister is getting married. YJ is getting married in September, right? And she sent this invitation, nice invitation. And I was telling Vernon, I said, When we decide to celebrate our wedding anniversary, she's going to do our invitation. Because she did it from scratch, that one. It's so nice. But she sent that invitation about 2 months ago, right? Sometime in March. And guess what? I have not RSVP for that invitation. So I decided to go and do it. I typed my name in there. I said, you know what? I was just preaching. I'm going to preach about RSVP, and I do my own there. Let me do it before I forget, because it's been almost 2 months. I went and typed my name in there, and I couldn't find it. I called her. I said, I typed my name in there, but I can't find the invitation. And she, when she said, oh, I put that Pastor Ansu Momo. And I didn't put Pastor there. I just put my name, Ansu Momo. So I'm like, God, I don't know what name you're going to, what are you going to put my title, Pastor Ansu Momo or what name, but I know my RSVP is already in heaven. So even though I didn't put the full Pastor Ansu Momo in there and I couldn't find it, but I know in heaven, I got it there. My reservation is there in heaven. But what am I saying is that sometimes we get so busy, we giving excuses, we running here, we running there, we so busy about ourselves and forget about the invitation God has given us. He invited us to his banquet, but we said, oh, I got to go take care of my job. Oh, I got to go take care of my family. Oh, I got to do this. I got to do that. And guess what? On that day, he's going to say, depart from me, because I know you not. You will say, Lord, didn't I cast out demons in you? Didn't I sing in the praise team? Didn't I come to Sunday school? Didn't I do this? You did it for your own self, because you did not set your time for me. So the opportunity is now. Don't push it away, because we don't know when he's going to come. We don't know when he's going to call us. But if you have your RSVP in heaven already, I can tell you rejoice, because it's going to be a glorious time. But if you are here and you're not sure, I'm telling you, now is the time. Now is the time for salvation, because tomorrow may be too late. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you this hour. We thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, even as your words have come forth, help us, O God, to know that we need a relationship with you. We need to come to you, to accept you as our Lord and Savior, and prepare for your kingdom. Lord, without you, we are nothing. And there is nothing that we can do on our own. And if you are here this afternoon and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you haven't accepted him in your life, now is the time that you need him. Now is the time that you called upon him and accept him as Lord and Savior of your life. His arms are wide open. He's willing to accept you just as you are, because he wants you to be in heaven with him. He wants you to be part of his kingdom when he comes, or when he calls you. You can see any of us, the pastor or the deacon, and we can pray along with you. But don't put up excuses. Don't put it aside and say, I have to take care of this before I come to serve God. Don't put it aside and say, I have to get a job before I come to serve God. Don't put it aside and say, I have to establish my family before I come to serve God. Don't put it aside and say, I want to do this before I come to serve God. Now is the time you have the opportunity. And God is willing. He's willing to accept you just as you are. We thank you, Lord. And we give you all the praise and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The praise team will lead us through. You can stand with us as we sing the song, In Christ Alone. He's the only way we can go forward.
know, Pastor Ansu's illustration is powerful, isn't it? By the way, Roger J, we didn't RSVP either. And you know, it's a funny thing. You know, we look at life and we think, well, we're going to be okay anyway. Because I'm this or I'm that or I did this or I did that. But when we stand before the judge of the universe, there'll be no excuse that'll be accepted. You know, he won't let you slide. He'll want to. He loves us so much. So he gave us Jesus now. And I just want to say to all of us, you know what? Let's make sure that we're in Christ. Amen. You know, and it's as simple as we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on the cross for my sin, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And if that belief isn't ours, we have not received the RSVP. And I just encourage each one of us today, let's make sure. And by the way, we have family, friends, neighbors, people we love. Let's make sure that they've sent the RSVP in too. Maybe they don't even understand. They think they're pretty good. But as Pastor Ansu said, nobody is perfect. The Word of God is so clear, isn't it? We can know it, but now we have to act on what we know. Amen? Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you, dear God, for all the things, Lord, that you have done for us. Father, but there is no thing like sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. Lord, I just ask that you would just work in our hearts, in our minds. Father, don't let us rest until we make sure that we are in Christ. And I pray, Father God, that you would use our life, our words, and our witness as we go out and share that hope with everyone. Lord, we all can be in Christ. We just have to receive it by belief in him. Thank you, dear God, for the message. Thank you, dear God, for our worship. And we pray now that you would just bless us as we go, Lord, into the week ahead. Father, for many, they'll go back to our banquet as we honor our children, and we thank you for that. And Lord, for the rest of us that are maybe going to go on our way, I pray, dear God, that you be with us. And I pray that you'd help us to be salt and light. And I pray, Lord, that we could extend that invitation, Lord, to others, that they might be in Christ as well. Lord, so that we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we will be in heaven and in the new heaven and the new earth in the days ahead. And we ask these things now in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. Hey folks, the Awana program member is in our gymnasium.